The sermon this morning is from Luke chapter 10. We'll start the reading at verse 16. Luke 10, starting with verse 16. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Turning to his disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. Pray with me. My Father, thank you for speaking to us in the midst of reality, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our shadows, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of the stings of our sins, in the midst of the stings of other people's sins. And we thank you for speaking life and light and truth and encouragement to us. God, bless us this morning as we turn to you, even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, to look to you, for you to clear the clouds away and to shine on us, to wipe away the tears from our eyes, to take our eyes off the disappointment and sorrow and pains that we face, to look on your Son, Jesus Christ, to look on your promises, to look on your blessings, to have our hearts lifted, to have our heads raised, that you will be glorified as we walk and live in your light and in your truth. Please bless each of us this morning as we seek you with our whole hearts. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Each of us come with discouragements. Each of us come with disappointments. Disappointments in ourselves, disappointments in others, disappointments in the circumstances of our lives. We could each look back at the past week and we could each have many reasons to be discouraged. When I was in seminary, someone asked the question why some person took a heretical direction. Why he was going and why he had actively been working against the church. The professor at that time said, only the Lord God knows a man's heart. He said, but I can tell you that he was very discouraged with the church. And he looked over the seminary class and said, and there will always be many reasons to be discouraged with the church. And then he paused as we all looked at him. And then he added, but there will be many reasons to be encouraged as well. That there will be glimmers of light even in the midst of darkness. If we wanted our pews to be filled, and if we saw that as our success, we could be very discouraged. If we wanted the perfect marriage, we would find ourselves very discouraged. The perfect children, the perfect friends, we would all be very discouraged. There are many reasons to be very discouraged. But if we take a step beyond our own circumstances, our individual circumstances, if we move outside of where we woke up, if we moved outside of our individual interactions, if we took a step further back at the reality of our eternity, we would look and we would have a reason, a great reason, to be very encouraged. That Jesus Christ came. He has loved you. You who have a heart to love Him. You who have a heart to trust Him. This is all of the evidence that you need to see your great salvation and to see that your Heavenly Father looks on you and He beams. He smiles. This has accomplished your salvation. This puts us in the place where we can rejoice even in the midst of sorrow, discouragement, disappointment, and injury. We come to the place where we can rejoice in the eternal reality, not because of our own power, not because of our own strength, not because of anyone else's faithfulness, but just because of Christ's faithfulness. His faithfulness, His power, Him being praiseworthy. So the call for you this morning is for you to rejoice. To rejoice because of Christ's love. And to rejoice because of Christ's power. Now this comes to us, and this rejoicing is not available for everyone. This rejoicing is not available to the world. If we went out to the individual who is not loving the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot say to them, you have reason to rejoice. We cannot speak to them and say, be happy, buck up, camper, hold your head up, things will ultimately get better. We must each be in the place where we are actively accepting the kingdom of God, and that is the first step, to accept the kingdom of God. We are given this warning and this reminder in verse 16. Jesus speaks to the disciples and says, the one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. When the gospel is presented to an individual, when you tell them, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, if you will believe in Him, if you will trust Him, you will be saved. If they do not receive that reality, they're not just rejecting you. It says they are rejecting Jesus Christ. They are saying to the author of life, no, I won't have you. And we've hit the idea before. If someone rejects life, what do they have? But death. This is the reality for everyone that we know. Our loved ones, our neighbors. If they reject life, they reject death. Jesus goes on there in verse 16, and He describes this a little bit more clearly. He who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. They're actively rejecting God if they don't believe in the gospel. For us, there is a full acceptance required for each of us to say, I believe what is said here. I believe the scripture. I believe that God has spoken. I accept the whole word of God as the only infallible, the only inerrant, the only word of what, only word God has said. This is reality. This is truth. And that is the place of life. There we have a confidence when we believe what God has said. These are the words of life. To not accept the kingdom of God is to remain under judgment. We love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we go to the next column over. But those who have not believed, the wrath of God remains on them. We must receive the kingdom to hold on to these promises. A bit of the beauty of the kingdom and a bit of our hope is our second step, that the kingdom of God is ultimately superior to Satan and the world. Chapter 10, verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." I've told the story before about this very strange man that lived in the area where I grew up. And he operates a lake there with campgrounds and shelter houses. And I was traveling there to go to a graduation party. And as I was pulling in, I looked and I saw the man who owns the grounds and owns the place. And I drove up to him and I asked, "Can you tell me where Chris's graduation party is?" And he looked at me and he said, "I will answer your question if you answer mine." And I was intrigued. I said, "All right, what is it?" And his question was, "How is the devil doing?" Which was a very strange question to ask a fella. And my answer was, "He's doing terrible." And he looked surprised. And he asked, "How can you say he's doing terrible when you look at the death and the destruction that is taking place in the world, when you see how messed up people are, how messed up their lives are? How can you say Satan is doing terrible?" I said, "Satan's doing terrible because he's a bully on the playground and he knows recess is almost over. That's why there's such a mess all around us." Jesus looked, and when the disciples responded, "This is what's happening. The demons have to listen to us." Jesus made the statement, I was seeing Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Boom! That picture, Jesus was able to look from the foundation of the world all through history and see the end and see the reality that salvation is being accomplished. That the kingdom of God is coming and the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. Victory is being accomplished. And it takes place in every area of life. It will be taking place in your heart. God will be accomplishing the good work that he has begun in you. God will be accomplishing families as he sees fit and in his perfect time. It will be happening. He is faithful. Generation to generation, it shall be. God will bring the kingdom across the world. So we look and there's this eternal overlap in Jesus' perspective. He sees Satan cast out of heaven. He sees the seed of David coming and advancing. He sees the kingdom of God being spread from Jerusalem, arriving clear into the United States of America. He sees the kingdom of heaven taking root in your heart. And Jesus says, Satan is being defeated. It is the eternal reality. In Psalm 2, verses 10 through 12. "Now therefore, O kings, show discernment and take warning, O judges of the earth." This is in response and continuing on the idea that God has set his Son on the throne of the world over the nations. And so he brings this warning. He says, "Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage," or kiss the Son, or serve the Son. "Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. And how blessed are all who take refuge in him," saying, you who trust in Christ, you are blessed. And everyone who will trust in Christ will be blessed. Jesus continues to explain the reality of Satan being conquered by his power and by the church. Luke 10:19. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. That is, the disciples would be immortal until they had accomplished the work that they had been given to do. So we move to our third step, looking at our joy and our rejoicing. Our third step is have joy beyond your earth work and abilities. Now, some of us, we can do really great things. Some of us have great abilities. Some of us can do math. Many of us cannot. Some of us are great musically. Some of us are not. Some of us can work very well with our hands. Some of us cannot. Some of us are very strong physically. Some of us are not. Some of us have been many of these things, and now we aren't. Jesus speaks in verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. There is the eternal reality that is present for each of you who trust in Christ. Whatever you are good at, you will lose. You will lose your mental facilities as you get older. You will lose your physical strength as you get older. You will lose your physical beauty as you get older. All the things that we have been able to boast in the course of our lives will ultimately be taken from us. So your joy can't be in your earthwork. You need a deeper and more solid foundation. Your joy cannot be in your physical abilities or your mental abilities. You need a much deeper foundation. That foundation is in Christ Jesus. In Psalm 9, verse 14, we're loved, we're saved, we're rescued, that we may tell of all of your praises, that we will tell of the great works of God, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I may rejoice in your salvation. There is a reason for rejoicing far beyond any abilities that you have. It's in Christ's willingness and his ability to save you. In that place, no matter what is taken from us, we are all free and called upon to rejoice in God's great salvation. Now we come to an unusual place in the Gospels. This is verse 21. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus rejoicing. Jesus was called a man of sorrows. Jesus wept. Jesus looked at and was disappointed with the Pharisees. Jesus was disappointed with the disciples. He was even angry at times with them. But here we see a place in which Jesus Christ rejoices. And our fourth step is to rejoice with Jesus. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. A place of rejoicing. You can take this passage and hold on to it and pull it out in the most disappointing and discouraging moments in your life. And if you will choose to rejoice in eternal reality along with Christ Jesus, you can be happy at any moment, anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. Because Christ saw this truth as worth rejoicing in, even on his way to the cross. You too can be happy. You too can rejoice in this eternal reality. This is the eternal reality that we sang in Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. We see that God offers us and brings us to the assembly for the purpose of rejoicing in Him. And what is the reality that He is rejoicing in? You have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants. Jesus Christ said, you must come like a child. In that place of rejoicing, you say, yeah, I'm a baby. I'm a baby. I'm an infant. I am not strong enough to save myself. I am not smart enough to save myself. I do not have the skills or the talents to save myself. I am like a baby with nothing to offer, and you save me. And in Christ Jesus, I rejoice in this reality that you were well pleased to operate in this way and save me. We can be happy there in any circumstance. And it results in praise for the Father because of His mysterious ways, because of His gracious revealing. And that God Himself is well pleased in this reality. So we continue to praise Him, and our fifth step is praise Christ and His authority in creation and salvation. Verse 22, all things have been handed over to me by the Father. This idea, this truth of all things being handed over to Him, it has been being demonstrated through His life. He goes to the dead, and He raises the dead to demonstrate, I am the living God, and I have been given all authority. He goes out on the boat, and He's on the boat, and the storm is coming. The waves are coming, and they're going to destroy Him and His friends. And He says, stop! And the wind stops, and the waves stop. He shows all authority has been given to me. As people are believing in Him and believing in the Father for the first time, He's displaying, this is happening because I want it to. Because of my will. I will that they will have a new heart and be able to believe. That is so much better and so much more powerful than, I'm so glad I chose Jesus. It is the reality of God the Father putting a heart in you that believes, giving you the mind that believes, the mind that trusts. So you sit in the pew, and when you sing, it's not about you. It's not about your wisdom. It's not about you being smart enough to choose Jesus. It's you having been incapable of saving yourself, and the Father's good pleasure is to love you, to save you, to bless you. And in our darkest moments, that great reality can shine. God's great love, His great salvation, His great mercy. So we see His power over creation, the weather, the winds, the waves, His power over evil spirits, and His power even over the souls of men, even over your soul. Because if you could run away, you would. But He has a power even over your soul. We see the truth in salvation that no one knows the Father except the Son. In verse 22, no one knows the Son except the ones that the Son wills to reveal Himself to Him. It's the eternal reality of our salvation. So our sixth step is to rejoice in your blessings. Verses 23 and 24. Turning to the disciples, He said privately, this is a nice moment for us. He had been speaking to the crowds, but then He turns and He brings His closest together. And you and I get to listen to this whisper that's being given to us. He says to them privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. You have been brought into an inner circle with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, given beautiful and eternal truth. Peter remembered this statement. Peter brought this truth out when he wrote his epistles. 1 Peter 1:10 through 12. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. And he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you were being served by the prophets. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. It's stated, and some people think that angels will come to the assemblies because even the truths that are being brought by modern pastors, truths and things will be revealed to them that they didn't know. Things that they didn't get. You are given eternal truth. Things to which even angels long to look into are revealed to you. You are given eternal truths by the Word of God, by His Spirit, by the proclamation of the Word. This is one of the reasons that the assembly is so beautiful. When you are given a teaching elder that's committed to you, he works and he labors to bring you the meal that you would need, specifically for you and for your blessing. And it was God's good pleasure to provide you with that. Peter speaks of this again in 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. So we have the prophetic word made more sure. This is more sure than what the Old Testament prophets have been given. So we have the prophetic word made even more sure, to which you do well to pay attention. He said you should be listening. When this word is brought to you, this blessing is being brought to you, you do well. Pay attention. You do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. What is the dark place? But our own lives. Our own sin, the circumstances of our lives, other people's pains and other people's disappointments, the afflictions that we face in this world. You do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And when that word was spoken, when it shone into your heart and made a difference and made a change, that was your Heavenly Father touching you, giving you life, giving you eternal life. Not because you were so smart, not because you were so strong, not because you were so skilled, but he blessed you like an infant. Like a baby discarded in a field, one prophet talked about it, laying and crying in the cold rain with nothing to offer. And the Heavenly Father comes and he has scooped you up and he has loved you and blessed you and given you life eternal, everlasting. Christ looks at your salvation and rejoices. Christ looks at your salvation and praises the Father because he has revealed eternal reality to you and loved you and saved you. No matter your circumstances, what you have lost, what has been denied to you, what has been done to you or hasn't been done for you, you have an eternal reality in which you shall rejoice when you look at it with the eyes of Christ Jesus. Rejoice in Him, in His power, in His salvation, because He has loved you and saved you. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for the great good that You have done for all of those who are fearing You, loving You, and trusting You. Please help each of us to center our lives on the eternal reality of our salvation and Your great will for us. May we trust You exclusively with our salvation as You have loved us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.